Money, 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 money. Welcome to Ask Peggy About Your Finances, because prosperity is so much more than money. Brought to you by writer, speaker, and certified financial planner, Peggy Dowiak.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 in Norman for production and studio assistance.
Hello, and welcome to the Ask Peggy About Your Finances show. My name is Peggy Dowiak, and I'm a certified financial planner practitioner and a personal finance author. This is a show to help you understand your money, and I've got some great topics today. We're going to talk about the markets compared to the economic data. We're also going to look at some rules about crypto in your 401k plan, and I'm going to give you my opinion of that. In the Plan Your Prosperity section, we're going to talk about planning your wedding. And then finally, in the Ask Peggy section, we're going to talk about an update on the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. So let's get started with the bulls and bears market and economic update. And I don't know about you, but I can't believe it's already June. This market data is from May 30th, 2025. And for that week, the Dow was up 1.6%, the S&P 500 was up 1.88%, and the NASDAQ was up 2%. Gold was up a little over 0.5%, and oil, West Texas Intermediate Crude front month price, was down 1.57% at a price per barrel of $60.79. The VIX was down 16.69%. Now remember, the VIX is the volatility index. It shows how worried people are, and it was down about 16.75%. The dollar was up 0.33%, and the 10-year treasury yield was down 11%. That current rate is 4.408%. Because the yield was down, that means the bond fund was up right about 1% for the AGG. And then finally, Bitcoin was down 3.8%. So I was gone for a couple of weeks. I had an expected trip, and then I had an unexpected death in the family. And so I haven't been able to do a live show for a couple of weeks. It's been kind of an interesting couple of weeks in the market. No doubt there's been some major rebounding because of the possibility that tariffs are not going to be as bad as we originally thought. However, if you get just a little bit under the top of the fold headline, you'll find that employers, big companies, big financial firms are actually still very concerned at the chaotic economic policy that we've been experiencing. And I call it chaotic because, like, over Memorial Day weekend, there was an announcement on Friday after markets closed that we were going to have a 50% tariff on goods from Europe starting a week from that next Sunday. And then by Monday, before the markets had even reopened, that had been taken back off the table. It's making it very hard for employers to figure out what to do. And as a result, the hiring has slowed, not dramatically, and unemployment isn't going through the roof or anything, but still, the hiring numbers are coming in higher than what we had expected them to be. Consumer spending is also showing some signs of slowing. Now, at the very beginning of the tariff situation on April 2nd, there was a lot of consumer buying, trying to get items before they got more expensive. So it actually almost looked like our economy was booming from a consumer spending position. Those numbers are beginning to slow as well, as people have already, you know, not only boomed and bought everything that they needed, but now they have a surplus, right? So since it isn't looking just awful, not only are people not buying things, but they're beginning to use some of their reserve items as well. So that's causing consumer spending right now to be quite low. We still haven't fully experienced the impact of the lower number of goods that are coming into the United States. No doubt the talks about lowering that staggering 45%, something like that, on China, dropping that to 30 is going to make it easier. But I've been doing a lot of listening to Bloomberg Radio because I can have it on in the background. I don't have to have television in front of me. There are a lot of small businesses that are still very concerned about what they ought to be doing going forward. They don't know if the tariffs are going to come back, if the tariffs are gone, if in fact the tariffs are just simply a negotiating tactic, which is something that has been expressed with differing levels of seriousness this past week as far as, you know, are we really going to keep these horrific tariff levels intact? And quite frankly, right now, nobody knows. I think being sarcastic about anything like this is always a bad idea. Okay, I realize that there have been a few jokes going around, but the problem is these are people's livelihoods, and quite frankly, it isn't funny, and quite frankly, I don't believe you should poke the bear, and I just kind of wish we would take a very measured tone. That's what I try to do on the show. I try not to ever look like my head's exploding about something, because I think you lose a lot of believability when you don't look reasonable, when you aren't grounded in fact. So, you know, right now, the market looks good. The market is convinced that this isn't real. And even over the weekend, yes, futures dropped, but what I'm seeing is futures are dropping less and less the more tariffs are announced and then retracted. So, you know, it's good for your portfolio. If you looked at your portfolio in April and it gave you a huge case of indigestion, go ahead and look at your May statement that you should be receiving any day now. You're going to be very pleasantly surprised. In fact, the markets are a little bit up year to date, which means that from January, at least they were the last time I looked, it is in fact a moving target. So from January to where we are today, the markets are up a little bit. Of course, that will depend on what happens economically going forward. You know, I'm watching this, you know, I'm listening to this. I'm going to have to tape the show in an odd way this weekend again, but I will try to tape a real show for you for next week so I can help you keep up with things.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 and Norman for production and studio assistance.
Welcome back to the legislative update of the Ask Peggy About Your Finances show. And today I want to talk about some changing regulation involving cryptocurrency in your 401k plan. Now, the last administration took a fairly dim view of cryptocurrency and put some regulations in place that would try to help protect people in their company retirement plans so that they wouldn't invest in crypto and have the crypto crash and have them lose a lot of money. Now, before you say that's not fair, which is what has been said this last couple of weeks, I want to remind you about something about your 401k. The people who offer your 401k have a fiduciary duty to make sure that they are making the best decisions to help you plan for your retirement. Remember that 401k plans are not supposed to be super speculative. Instead, they are supposed to provide money when you are older. So during that period of your life when you're no longer working, you have money that you can use. And because it's such a huge industry, it has a higher level of regulation on it than if you just went to an online brokerage firm or you worked with an advisor and opened a taxable account, a non-retirement account. There is a lower standard of care, even kind of among investment advisors who always hold a fiduciary duty. the people who put the plan together hold a fiduciary duty in your 401k. The people who choose the investments hold a fiduciary duty. Anyone who advises you in your 401k holds a fiduciary duty. And this is why the financial models that don't have a fiduciary standard, you know, even those now that are regulated by best interest policies, won't give you advice on what you should do with your 401k because they don't want to own that fiduciary mantle. So the fact that there was concern, and it wasn't necessarily, this is my opinion, it wasn't a war on crypto. It was kind of a war on speculation. So that concern and the attempting to keep people from owning crypto in their 401ks has been moderated a lot in the recent weeks, and it may very well be possible going forward to own crypto in some capacity within your 401k plan. And I know that it's the attempt to create an open market, that people should have the right to buy what they want, that it's not up to the government to regulate and say, no, you can't do this. It is really almost a micro example of differences in how the government's role is viewed. So rather than me getting all up into the middle of that, what I would like to remind you of, and certainly this is a radio show, you don't have to take my advice, but you should go ahead and think about a few things if you're considering buying crypto. When people ask me what I think about crypto, I tell them I don't like it. And then, you know, they'll start in telling me why I don't like it. And I tell them, no, that actually isn't why. And I will say, I really don't think it's a Ponzi scheme. Yes, early investors in anything make a killing that the rest of us don't. You know, go back into some of the biggest names in technology from the 80s and 90s. And those early employees have made way more money on their stock than you or I will ever think to make, right? That doesn't make it a Ponzi scheme. It means that early adapters almost always profit the most. There is still, in a good period of time, money to be made in crypto. So that's not my problem with it. My problem with crypto goes back to the old saying from How to Invest textbooks, which is know what you own, understand what you own. I would make the argument that the key to understanding something begins with knowing what it is. And when I ask people what cryptocurrency is, I get different answers, and the answers are really, really different. I get some people who know they're speculating, and they see it as an investment, and they just want to make money off of it. Those are actually the people that I worry about the least, because they don't think it has some grand role in the future of the United States. Do I think that there is any form of outside chance that cryptocurrency is going to replace the United States dollar? No, I absolutely do not believe that. Now, let me explain kind of a weird quirk in the middle of this in case you've heard something of, oh, the United States is going to use crypto. No, the United States is considering adding a digital component to the United States dollar. And that hasn't happened yet. Okay, I think it might happen. I think there's a possibility that there could be a U.S. digital dollar. That sounds very science fiction-ish, but think about it this way. How many U.S. dollars, physical green U.S. dollars, do you trade over the course of a year? You know, I have a few transactions that are still done in cash, not very many, just a few. Or if I'm wanting to give somebody a tip, I give it in cash. or if I am just wanting to have some extra money on hand because maybe I'm concerned, or maybe I'm going on a trip, or maybe I want to use cash as an exchange if I'm going overseas, cash to dollar or cash to whatever other currency it is. I carry some cash, but I would argue, and I have one particular transaction I have to do in cash as I'm paying someone else, that is the only reason the number is this high. I bet my cash transactions are 5% of what I do, where I actually physically hand someone money. So we're already digital, right? Credit cards are digital. Checks, honestly, at the end of the day, are digital because they take pictures of them. You don't get your checks back. That's because I don't know where the checks go. They go somewhere and they get shredded, or they give them right back to you at the time of the transaction. We're already doing this. This would be codifying it. But that isn't cryptocurrency. And by cryptocurrency, I am talking about Bitcoin or Dogecoin, not the same Doge, or other things, Ethereum, you know, all of those other things. The second problem with crypto is it's too volatile for everyday purchasing. Or big purchasing. If you're going to buy a house, you do not want to buy it in a currency that can swing by 10% by the day, because you don't want to pay 10% too much for your house, nor do you want the value of your house to drop by 10% the day after you buy it. So it's too volatile. And then finally, it just doesn't trade that widely because there's too many cryptocurrencies. Now, if there was only one cryptocurrency, and I'm not going to throw one out, it would probably be one of the big ones. Would cryptocurrency be better? It would be. But the problem right now is absolutely anybody with a little bit of cash can create their own cryptocurrency. Now you have a situation where you have competing currencies. It's a little bit like when the states issued currency at the very beginning of the United States. And we figured out in a hurry that that didn't work. So I just, for those reasons, don't think crypto will ever replace the dollar. And because I don't know what it is, I'm not a huge fan of it in 401k plans. If you're just buying it to speculate, if you're buying it trying to make a quick buck, I know there will be people who say that is not the point of your 401k, but that honestly, that scares me the least because you're aware that you're buying something that is a trade, not necessarily a long-term investment.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 and Norman for production and studio assistance.
Welcome back to the Plan Your Prosperity segment of the Ask Peggy About Your Finances show. Happy June. It's June 2nd, and June means weddings. Let me give you some prosperity tips to help you plan a wedding that won't destroy your budget for the first 10 years that you're married. Now, people dream about having the perfect wedding, but it does not have to be the most expensive wedding in order to be perfect. I know weddings have gotten entirely more complicated than they were when I got married in the year 2000, but you can still have that wedding and take some tips and not spend quite so much money. So the first idea is to start planning early. Okay, the further out you book everything, the less expensive it's likely to be. So you need to book your venue very, very early, figure out the caterer early, and for all of you brides out there, try to find your dress early. And the reason for this is it may take you a while to find something you like. And the longer you wait, the more likely you are to find something, fall in love with it, and buy it without paying any attention to the price. If you start early, you have enough time to look. You have enough time to shop. And it's fun shopping. So use that time of shopping to save yourself some money and enjoy planning for your big day. Now, this isn't as much fun. Begin saving money the day after you get engaged. If you think you're going to get engaged, if you're already in a long-term relationship and you figure that marriage is the eventual end of it, go ahead and start saving even earlier than that. Because what you want to do is save as much money as you can so that you aren't starting with a big debt. You want to think of it as any other major purchase, and you want to start putting back some money for it every day. You know, these days, most of the time, the parents of the bride don't foot the entire bill. But if you want to go that way, parents of the bride, the minute you think this might end in a wedding, start saving money. Because here's the worst thing that happens. If you're wrong, you've saved some money that then you can put into your emergency fund, or maybe you can add it to your retirement savings. There's never a problem with having a little stash of money that you've saved. Now, I know I'm doing this the 1st of June, and I know that June is popular, but if you'll choose a slightly less popular time, your wedding will be less expensive because the whole cost of everything will be down a little bit. This is especially true if you're making a destination wedding. If you book in the highest season of the destination, then you're going to pay top dollar for it. I had a destination wedding, and I scheduled the wedding about 10 days before the season started. So I booked on a shoulder. If you're wanting a destination wedding, if you can book the shoulder, you're close to peak time. So like everything will be open. You probably don't want a beach wedding in the middle of the winter. But you're not getting the highest cost, and you're saving a little money to the side. Even if you're not having a destination wedding, try to look at times where wherever you are is already busy, and try to avoid booking to those times, because you will save some money if the people who are helping you plan your wedding are really glad that you're there. Then enlist your friends to help you do everything that's possible in advance. I know that today with computers, a lot of times it's very easy to get calligraphy on an envelope where nobody actually had to write it. But if you are going to hand write your invitations with calligraphy, maybe you have a friend who can help you do that. If you are putting decorations on the table, if you've got a crafty friend, let them help you organize that. You know, I think sometimes today, spending money seems to be part of the point of the wedding. And people are busy. I get it. That's why you start doing all of this stuff in advance. But you'll also build really good memories. Because it was a destination wedding, I used silk flowers. And some of my best memories of getting ready for the wedding is we put things together in advance and then drove a really big van to get to where we were going so we could get things there and it wouldn't all be crushed. And all of that was fun. All of that created memories and things that are going to help you look back on this event with really fond, fond memories. Once you're married, you have the honeymoon. And that's another place where people sometimes just think they should blow crazy money on it. Now, I'm not going to tell you where to go. And you know me, I never tell you not to do things. I try to give you some shortcuts. Some of the best meals I ate on my honeymoon were picnics. They were picnics in really great locations, but they were picnics. Five-star Michelin dining? Yeah, maybe, maybe not. Local places, local restaurants, much better memories. Tell people you're on your honeymoon. They're going to be thrilled you're there. You're going to have a ton of fun, and you're going to do it without breaking the bank. And now finally, here's the very, very most important thing about planning your wedding. I hope you're marrying your best friend. If you're marrying your best friend, everything else is secondary. Yes, I get it. You want the glamorous day, and I'm not telling you not to have it. But I am saying don't let the event of the wedding actually supersede the fact that you're marrying the person you want to spend the rest of your life with. And when you remember that, everything else falls in place just a little bit better.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 and Norman for production and studio assistance.
Welcome back to the Ask Peggy segment of the Ask Peggy About Your Finances show. And last week, or maybe the week ahead of that, like I said, I've had a busy couple of weeks. The House finally passed their bill, the big, beautiful bill, and it has now gone to the Senate. There are a lot of things in the House bill that the Senate has already said, no, we're not going to do that. So it'll be interesting to watch this reconciliation process where the House offers something and then the Senate offers something in return. And then they actually have to talk to each other and come up with things. Well, I've been seeing seminars where people are saying, let's talk about the impact of the tax code on what is going to happen to consumers next year when this bill passes. And I think it's always smart to be aware of that. But the argument that I would make is I think people are way ahead of their skis. I'm already hearing planning strategies, and it's like, no, we don't know that this is going to be there. And one of the biggest things that people want to talk about is the extension of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. Now, the original Tax Cuts and Jobs Act was passed under President Trump's first term, and it had a sunset. The sunset was the end of 2025, which would be this December. Now, the tax cuts that went in place for corporations were permanent. The sunset were for individual rates. And I have thought for some time it is highly unlikely that any Congress or president would do away with that. So there will be most likely an extension of those lower rates. If you have been paying attention to your tax brackets, you know that they've gone down, which means you pay less tax percentage in each bracket that you're in. I do think that will continue. I never really thought it would go away, but it will be interesting to see what happens. There's other things in there. We'll have to figure out how much gets out of the House and gets through the Senate and actually gets passed into law. So we don't know yet. Don't make any plans yet on anything. I don't know when the Senate is going to come back with something. I know that senators are busily going on the morning shows and announcing their opinions. But, you know, we don't know what that means, and we don't know what they're going to do. What I am going to say is this is kind of interesting, at least to people like me. I always like to see what's the next thing coming down the pike. If you don't think it's interesting, then all you need to do is listen, because I'm going to keep up with it, and then I'm going to explain it all to you. My other big news for this week is I'm going to be taping an audiobook of 52 Weeks to Fearless. And I'm actually going to be the voice on the recording, and I am going to Dallas to do it at a great recording studio. I'll give you more details on the next show, and I'm really looking forward to it. For those of you who like audiobooks, this is my first audiobook. This is the book for creatives, and so as we know when it's going to be available, I'll let you know.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 and Norman for production and studio assistance.
You may submit personal finance questions to the Ask Peggy Facebook page and learn more at PeggyDoviak.com. And remember, prosperity is so much more than money.